And now we come to the gospel. If you don't know what it is, stop and guess. What would be a gospel suitable to celebrate the foundation, the building, the reality of this church, which is a symbol of life here and hereafter? What would be a good gospel for that? Don't cheat. Think for a while. Then look it up in the Missal or the Magnificat or wherever you want. Or I'm going to tell you right now. It's John 2. The cleansing of the temple. In John, this is the very first thing that Jesus does in a very public way. As you know, I think, it's John 2. It has to be early because it's the first thing. It's the second of the signs. The first sign in John is the changing of the water into wine. And it ends by saying, and this is the first of the signs that Jesus did. I'll probably get it. Well, let's see, I'm here now. The miracle at Cana is John 2, 1 to 12. And as you notice, then we pick up right away with 2, 13, where now, I think I'll be okay without it. The text goes, you see, let's look at the last line of that concludes the miracle at Cana. He went down to Capernaum and he stayed there with his mother and his brethren. And then we pick up right away with where we are. Verse 11, which is the last, and then we have the concluding one. This is the first of the signs that Jesus worked in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his doxa, his glory. Because while he's changing water into wine, he's also changing grace into spirit. Because the new law is the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean that the new law, you know, is so spiritual it evaporates. It means you don't have to go look it up. You just have to learn to live in touch with the Holy Spirit and obey Him. And the more you do that, the better, the more adept you get, and the more the Lord can lead your life. And why does He want to lead your life? So that you can be happy with Him in an immeasurable way when you're in heaven. And in this life, you can spread His life and the good news about Him. That's why. And so the text then goes on to speak about that. And then after this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples. And they stayed there not many days. And then the text as we have it. And the Passover of the Jews was near. Interesting way to put it. He means a Jewish feast because Jesus is a Jew and he's going to observe it. And so Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their table. And that disturbed him. Why? They have to have some animals for sacrifice, and they have to have temple coins to pay the temple tax, because all the pagan coins have images on them, and you're not allowed to have an image. It's the way it's done and the absorption. Isn't this an occupational hazard? especially for us priests. We got to run the place. I remember a friend of mine, I think I might have told you this before. He was the assistant in a parish. And he was really scandalized the way the pastor was checking out to see how much the Sunday collection was, making sure. And well, that pastor was moved and he was inherited the pastor's place. The very next Sunday, he's telling me this himself. At the offertory, they've taken up the collection, and I'm holding up the paten like this, and they're coming down the aisle with the basket, to put it in the container. And I'm looking like this to see how much they got. Now I'm responsible. Shows you we're not bright, are we? Shocked when the pastor was interested in how much money. And the very first time you ever get a chance that you're responsible, right in the middle of your prayer, you're looking over like this to see how much money. Well, if God wanted perfection, he would have never called on us in the first place. Okay, the Passover of the Jews, that's Pesach, right, was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. No. He told those who were selling the doves, he was much gentler with them, take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. Do you see? We're still on this notion of the dedication of a temple. You can have the building, but if it's just a marketplace, if it's just a discussion hall, it's not a temple. It's not a house of God. And so that's the gospel on this dedication of a church. And so he found them all, you see, selling these things. There may be, some of the historians will tell us, there may be overtones to this as well. You see, the animals had to be approved by the officials. So what did they do? Up at the top of the hill, you know, right at the gate going in, there were animals that had been pre-approved. There were poor farmers at the bottom of the hill selling their sheep, and they weren't pre-approved. They had to be investigated, and you can be sure they were looking for a fault in them. How can we do this? They wanted all the money for themselves, and that's one of the reasons why our Lord was so angry, because the poor weren't getting a chance. The other reason is everybody's busy about that money. You know, I had an uncle. He was a seaboat captain, Uncle Ben. And, oh, I'm going way, way back now. In fact, he was a tugboat captain on the Hudson, and he was so good that he was the one that took all the troop ships out to the 12-mile limit during World War II. He was a young man. He went into church, and he was behind an elderly, poor couple. And the guy didn't pick it up, the usher or whatever he was. They didn't have any money. He was going to tell them to stand. But we're all dumb, but we shouldn't be that dumb. So my uncle took a whole bunch of change out of his pocket, threw it in there, said, "Now let him sit," and he walked out. Irish, of course. He didn't go back to church for 40 years. Then he got cancer. And the guy in the Marine hospital in the next bed had two sons, and they were both priests. And the younger one took a shine to my uncle. Well, you know, those kind of men, you can win them over because they're good. They're just, you know, hard-headed and hard-nosed. And so he went and won him over, and he was back in the church, and he was back receiving communion. So when they came to give him the shot of Novocaine, he said, or some kind of pain, he said, "I don't need it. I got my pills right here." He was saying the rosary. And that's the way he died. So, but the same reaction, you see? What are you doing with this money? And you're oppressing the poor. And so, what sign can you show for doing this? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. The Jews said, this temple's been under construction for 46 years. In fact, it wasn't finished yet. There was still a tiny little bit left to do when the Romans destroyed it. And you will raise it up in 3 days? Of course, Jesus, as John tells us, he was speaking of the temple of his body. That's the temple. It's my Father's house. It's where you come to adore and worship him and love him and listen to him and take care of the poor. That's what my Father's house is for. Not all these, you know, financial transactions. And he's pretty mad. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. They remembered. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, right? He will bring back to your mind all that I have said. And they remembered that and said, every human being has to be a temple, and all together we make up one temple if we love each other. And we're not so concerned about money and power and status and gossip. We're there to worship God and to help one another worship God. And it's on why the church takes that text, which is a New Testament text, of course, for the gospel, to talk about how we can besmirch the church of God, even the physical building, by being too worried about money and status and clothes and not caring about the poor. And that's awful. And so you remember John Chrysostom used to say, you come in here and you want to give all that silver and gold, give it to the poor. Give it to the poor. They need it. Every one of them is a temple of God. Just don't decorate the building and then leave your brothers and sisters out in the cold. That can't be right. Do we need a building? The whole feast is about this building. Yes, we need a building. We got stuff, and we fit in buildings, and we have to be together. But the building is for worshiping God and caring for each other, especially the poor. That's what it's for. It's not to show off your latest coat or whatever. You know, that's what it's for. And it's certainly not for gossip or even for criticizing the pastor, poor guy. You know, it's for coming together to worship God, to forgive one another, to upbuild one another, and to take care of the poor. That's what it's for. I'll tell you quickly a story I probably already told you. I see I've only got 36 seconds left. St. Lawrence in Rome is a deacon in charge of the finances. And they said, show us the treasures of your church, your Roman church. He said, I will. You come with me. And he brought him into this big basilica where he had gathered all the poor. And he said, that's the treasure of the church. There they are. They're poor. They're not big shots. They're not trying to impress anybody, and they need help, and they're trusting God for the help. That's the treasure of the church, not the gold and silver. And that's the way this text ends. You see, the resurrection, the change in the physical body of Christ, that's the dedication.